FFA Report, a look at the current events affecting your family. From our studios in Tupelo, Mississippi, here's your host, founder and chairman of the American Family Association, Don Weilman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program for today. A little bit different today. The regular gentlemen who join me are not here. Rather, we're going to listen to a sermon today, and I hope you'll stay tuned. Dr. Lawrence White is a powerful, powerful preacher, and he's recently delivered a sermon in his church, Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. And I want you to stay tuned. I want you to hear this sermon. There's an important day coming up next Tuesday, and Dr. White's words relate to that. I'm sure that after this program is over, you will be inspired. So stay with us, and here now is Dr. Lawrence White, pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
May our wonderful God, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Amen. Hear the word of God as it was spoken by our Savior in his great Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So far the text. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, my dear fellow believers, you hold a baby in your arms. You see the wonder and the beauty of that child, like little Megan, born again just a few moments ago. You see the wonder and the beauty of that child and savor the miracle of life. Then you look at 520 crosses like this one, stretched across the front of our property. The Cemetery of the Innocents, we call it. 520 crosses, representing 45 million innocent unborn children. Each one of those crosses stands for more than 90,000 babies. Each one as beautiful and as precious as God designed him or her to be. Each one loved and cherished by the Lord of life, who gave them that gift. Cast aside in our culture like so much garbage. Their bodies filling dumpsters outside of abortion clinics throughout America. Because we worship choice and scorn the Lord. Because my pursuit of my pleasure is more important than anything else. In our sick and corrupt society. The book of Ecclesiastes says there is a time to speak and a time to keep silent. In just a few days, our nation will go to the polls once again. We will elect a president and a Congress. We will choose the leaders who will choose the course of this nation. We will decide whether the killing will go on or not. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You are the light of the world. Salt and light. Salt, which stings and stops the decay of death. Light, which shines and dispels the darkness of doubt and despair. Christian church in America has become salt which has lost its savor, and light which does not shine, hidden beneath a bushel of self-interest and apathy and doubt. As the killing goes on across our land, the silence from God's pastors is deafening. Millions die every year, and the people of God remain disengaged, apathetic, and ignorant. And the pastors of God in the pulpits of God proclaiming the word of God remain silent while the slaughter goes on. And that silence implicates us in the guilt of this crime against God and against humanity. St. Ambrose, one of the leaders of the early church, bishop of the northern Italian city of Milan early in the 4th century, was a man who understood the responsibility of Christians to speak to the great issues of the day. The leader of the civilized world was at that moment a Roman emperor named Theodosius. And Theodosius ordered a massacre of innocent people in the Greek city of Thessalonica. And Ambrose, the bishop of Milan, stood in the pulpit of his church and he denounced that slaughter. He called upon God's people to rise up and hold the emperor to account. And when the most powerful man in the world came to Ambrose's church, he refused him communion at the altar of God. And he explained to his people, not only for every idle word, but for every idle silence, Christians must render an account. The idle silence of God's people in the face of the ongoing slaughter of abortion is deafening in this land. The idle silence of God's pastors on the issue of abortion is deafening across America. And as long as that silence continues, the killing will go on. And we will one day answer to God, not only for what we said, but for what we failed to say. For every idle silence. Now again and again we hear the commentators in the press, on the TV, and in the newspapers and the radio talking about the separation of church and state. The absolute wall of separation between church and state is a phrase they often use, misquoting Thomas Jefferson and lifting his words out of their original context. And I'm not here today to tell you who to vote for or to endorse a candidate. I am here today as God's pastor on the basis of God's word to talk to you about your responsibility as sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand for the truth, to base your participation in this democracy which God has given us, not on the basis of your political affiliation, not on the basis of your party, not on the basis of your pocketbook, not on the basis of your ethnicity, but on the basis of your identity as a son or a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't vote as a Republican or a Democrat, as a member of the middle class or the upper class or the lower class, as a white or a black or a Hispanic. Vote as a Christian, first and foremost. recognize that before us as a nation at this moment are certain foundational issues that define us as a people, that determine the future of this country and whether or not this country will have a future. Vote as a Christian on the basis of God's word on those moral issues. And recognize that when we talk about the murder of innocent unborn children, that issue transcends all others. What does history say of those Germans who in the 1930s carefully and objectively weighed the issues, who looked at Hitler's foreign policy and his economic policy and listed all the issues off on an equal basis and decided, well, I don't agree with what he's doing to the Jews. I don't like his racial or ethnic policies, but he's making Germany strong again. He's making us proud. We'll weigh all the issues together and put them all on an equal level. And history looks at those who made that choice, and there were many of them, and it scorns them as cowards who evaded their responsibility and allowed their nation to be destroyed. And history will look at Christians today who are making those same decisions, and it will judge them in the same way as cowards who forfeited their responsibility before God and allowed their country to be destroyed. Martin Luther once said, and Luther was, by the way, a strong advocate and defender of the biblical principle of the separation of church and state. He didn't want the church running the state or the state running the church. But he did say, with his usual vigor, that pastors who refuse to rebuke the sins of the government strengthen the wickedness of the tyrants, become a partaker in it, and bear responsibility for it. Listen to those words. Every pastor in America who fails to speak out against abortion, every pastor in America who fails to speak out against the homosexual assault on the institution of marriage, become a partaker in that evil and bear responsibility before God for it. That's what God calls us to do, to speak the truth. That's what God calls us to do, to shine the light in the midst of the darkness, to be the stinging salt that halts the decay of death. And in times like these, as the nation wrestles with these foundational moral issues, we have a responsibility as the people of God, to be that stinging salt and that shining light. Now, that's not going to be popular. That's not going to be pleasant. The devil's not going to roll over and give up. There is going to be opposition. There is going to be criticism. People are silent because it's easier to be silent. People are silent because you don't get into trouble by saying nothing. And you can go on with your institutional or denominational business in peace. You can carry on your life without anybody getting mad at you. But when you stand for the truth, that is going to be controversial in this world where the lie rules supreme. But this morning, as your pastor, I have an obligation from God to remind you on the basis of His word that we all have a responsibility to God to stand for that which is good and right and godly. We have a responsibility from God to vote in this election, and if we fail to vote, then we have sinned against God and against His word. That's pretty strong, preacher. Yes, it is. But God has given us this form of government. God has given us the opportunity to choose our leaders, to determine the future course of the nation. If we fail to use that opportunity that God has given us, that is a sin. And if we vote on the basis of something other than our Christian conscience, that too is a sin. To vote for any candidate for any office from any party in any election who supports the murder of innocent unborn children is a sin. I don't care if you like every one of his other policies. If he supports abortion or she supports abortion, you as a Christian cannot vote for them. Think about where America will go if those who are pro-choice, to use the popular euphemism, really pro-death. If those who are pro-choice, who favor Roe versus Wade and the continuation of that policy, take control of the White House and of the Congress and make the next 3 or 4 appointments to the United States Supreme Court. Think about where this nation will go. Dr. James Dobson was on television the other night, and Dr. Dobson went on to list off potential nominees to the Supreme Court should the liberals be triumphant in this election, and Hillary Clinton was prominent on his list of potential appointments to the Supreme Court. Think about what would happen to America if for the next 4 or 8 years the Congress and the White House are under the control who favor the pro-choice argument and favor extending the practice and the liberty of abortion clinics to murder innocent unborn children, who favor expanding, legalizing, and recognizing gay marriage in this country. Think about what will happen to America if we fail to be the stinging salt and the shining light. To be a faithful witness is not easy, but it is absolutely necessary for the future of our country, for faithfulness to our Lord. And if we fail to offer that witness, if we are not faithful and steadfast and forthright, that's not going to make the world like us. In fact, it will lead the world to scorn us and ridicule us as worthless people who talk the talk but don't walk the walk. And they'll be right. The church that remains silent in the face of such monstrous evil betrays and denies the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name we bear. 520 white crosses standing on the hillside, placed there to remind us of the magnitude of the slaughter. 520 white crosses standing on the hillside to remind us of our opportunity and our obligation as Christians to be the stinging salt and the shining light, to stop the killing in this land, to be what God calls us to be what God enables us to be. John Adams once said that the problem with democracy is that you get the leaders you deserve. I hope that it is not too late for America. I hope and I pray that we may still turn from the course of death to walk again in the path of life. After all this damage, after all this killing, I hope and I pray that it is not too late for our country, that God will not give us the leaders we deserve, but that instead God's people will finally be roused from their sleepy apathy and indifference, that God's people will finally be roused to stand for life, to stand for marriage, to stand for family in these troubled days, and to snatch our country back from the brink of destruction. In the days of Hitler's tyranny, there was a faithful pastor in a little country church in the Rhineland in central Germany. His name was Paul Schneider. He wasn't a brilliant theologian like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wasn't a flamboyant speaker, a great leader of men like Martin Niemöller. He was just a country preacher. But he stood in the pulpit of his little church every Sunday, and he preached the Word of God faithfully and firmly. And as the evils of Nazism engulfed that country, he warned his people against that evil. He denounced the racial policies of the Nazi regime. He denounced the idolatrous demands of absolute obedience that Hitler and his minions put forward. And he placed two prominent Nazi party leaders in his local village under church discipline and banned them from communion. And shortly thereafter, he was arrested and taken by the Gestapo to Buchenwald, the horrible concentration camp in central Germany near Weimar. Now, Paul Schneider was a skinny, scrawny little guy. He didn't amount to much in terms of his physical presence. And he didn't do well at Buchenwald. Now, this was the concentration camp to which many of the leftist enemies of the Nazi regime were taken, the communists and the socialists and the trade unionists. These men were not Christians. But the integrity of Schneider's Christian witness impressed each one of them. In the daily roll call, the prisoners were assembled in the courtyard of the camp, and the red and black banner of the swastika run up the flagpole. The prisoners called upon to salute that flag, and Schneider would not. He refused. He would not take off his cap. He would not salute the banner of the swastika. And every day he was beaten for that refusal, thrown into solitary confinement. And when they would call the roll in the daily Appell, as it was called, then they would come to the names of those who had been murdered the night before, those who had been slaughtered by the Gestapo and the SS. And when they would come to that name, there would be a pause, and there the thin, reedy voice of Paul Schneider from the window of the solitary confinement cell crying, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I bear witness for so-and-so." And so on. Well, finally, in 1939, in July the 18th, they beat him to death. His body could bear no more punishment, and he died. But if you go to the Buchenwald Memorial today, in the middle of that courtyard where he refused to support the swastika, erected by the communist government of East Germany, is a statue of that pastor, holding a Bible in his hand with the slogan at the bottom that says, "The Witness of Buchenwald." They recognized his integrity. They honored his courage. And through him, they honored the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a time for us as Christians to make that witness. This is a time for us as Christians to stand in defense of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the 520 crosses on that hill. Remember the precious unborn children that they represent. Vote in this election. Vote as a Christian. Talk to your friends. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your family members. Tell them to vote for life. Tell them to vote for marriage. Tell them to vote for family. Tell them to vote in the name and to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps God, in his mercy, may yet save America. And now may that peace of God, which far surpasses the limits of our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.
All right, there you have it. Now it's up to you. And as Dr. White said, go vote. Hey, good to be with you. You can hear the AFA report online. Go to afr.net, afr.net. And you can email us at afareport@afa.net, afareport@afa.net. See you on the next AFA report.
AFA Report is a production of the American Family Association.